Just left the conference and education centre at St Harold's Cross with a large group of people, and we've been trekking down a very warm street in Dublin, and now we're walking through what appears to be a park. People snapping away on their phones, people trying to stay alive, looking at their phones while crossing the road, and we're following a professional tour guide, and he's going to be giving us some context, some valuable context to the surroundings, the graveyard and the people lying beneath it. I actually asked if there was a graveyard nearby, because because I knew we were going to be kind of on the outskirts of town, and not knowing the area, I was trying to think of a concentration of stories. And if you just think about how we don't kind of walk around with labels on our head saying who we are and what we do, and we kind of are getting close to that with graveyards. And I think the more, you know, I've geotagged family graveyards with more contextually relevant information, but the historian here will recognise the names, and he will be our API to the histories, our bridge, should I say, to the lives that will be laying beneath our feet, who they were, what they did, how they died may even be written on the gravestone. There's a limited amount of metadata there. More so with modern green burials, for example, when you have an RFID kind of dropped into the grave with you. By law, you have to, I think, identify a grave with a digital marker now, when you're not having a physical marker. And it's amazing what you can attach to that kind of information should the infrastructure be around. And I really do one day hope there is some kind of open source system for doing that. And if anybody would like to help me develop a system for tagging stories to graves, I know there's been smaller projects in the past, and I've talked about this for many years now. I do have a couple of interesting URLs, not enough coffee, that will assist in this. Everybody's photographing the playground, which might look a little bit sus if it wasn't for the fact we're in a gang. And we're very nearly there. Walking past a waterfall. There is a waterfall in Dublin. Where did that come from? Do you have lots of waterfalls in Dublin?
Waterfalls all the time, mostly from the sky, occasionally in parks.
Good answer. Right, I'm going to pause this and commence shortly.
Now, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Liam Green, and I'm a tour guide and historian, okay? And normally I walk in the inner city, so I don't know as much about this area as the inner city, but I'm going to make it up as I go along, okay? We always say, never let the truth get in the way of a good story. That's what I always say, okay? Now, this area is called Harold's Cross. This is the park. There are two theories as to why it's called Harold's Cross. One was that there was a cross laid here by the Archbishop of Dublin as a warning to the Harolds who own the land beyond here not to encroach onto his land, okay? And the other theory is there was a gallows here, and it was called Harold's Cross. They used to hang people here in the 1600s. The Archbishop of Dublin, very charitable Christian man, you could be hung by him, okay? So this is the way it gets its name. Now, the park was laid out, it was opened in 1894, and it was designed by the man called William Shepherd, that's him here, and he was the guy who laid out Stephen's Green in Dublin. I'm sure you're all aware of St. Stephen's Green. And that was a gift from Lord Ardilaun, the Guinnesses. And in the 1880s, they laid out Stephen's Green for the people of Dublin. Now, they're all buried in here as well. We're going to go into the graveyard, Mount Jerome, and he's actually, the Guinnesses are buried in here, okay? Now, the area itself was developed in the Victorian era. Lots of people were fleeing the city because the city was considered to be dirty, disease-ridden, and they were moving to the suburbs. And this was the suburb that they chose. And this area was a Protestant area. That's where they all moved to. It was Rathgar, Rathmines, and Harold's Cross, and Terenure. Okay, so these were the townships that they created. And with the developing population, they needed space to bury people. Up until then, they were burying people in graveyards of churches, and they were running out of space with the increase in population. So they had to find graveyards. And in England, they came across the an act which they formed different companies to create graveyards or cemeteries. And there was one created in Dublin called Glass and Evans Cemetery on the north side, and this was created on the south side, Mount Jerome. Okay? Now, the lands belonged to the Earl of Meath, and the reason everything is called Mount in this area, you have Mount Argus Church, you have Mount Jerome, is this is on a higher plane than the rest of the city. Okay? So there was a big problem when they initially formed graveyards with cholera. Lots of people died in those days from cholera, and they were buried in pits. Now, unfortunately, they didn't realise that they would seep down into the water table, and the water would join the drinking water in the river. There's a river called the River Poddle that runs through here. And people on the other end of the river would start drinking the water, or using it to wash themselves, and they would get cholera. So what they had to do, they had to run the water, the seepage, into the sewage system, which they finally copped on and finally did, okay? So we're going now to go into Mount Argus, which is the most Gothic or Victorian of cemeteries in Dublin. Now, some of it is not in particularly good condition. Glasnevin is in better condition, I have to say. There are reputedly 250,000 people buried in here, okay? And it was opened in 1836. Glasnevin was opened in 1832, and Glasnevin has over 1.5 million people. So there are more people buried in Glasnevin than live in the city of Dublin. People are dying to get into these cemeteries. you can cut that, edit that. Okay, let's go.
I'm leaving that in.